This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hey, I'm You Crew. It's Melissa dropping in real quick before the episode. We just want to give you guys a disclaimer. Today's episode is not a normal episode of Murder Unscripted. We are honestly just being goofballs and silly and having fun. And if this is your first time listening and you want a real feel for the show, I would definitely recommend starting with a different episode and then come back and hang out with us in this episode. So we hope you enjoy it and Happy New Year!
It's Tuesday and you're listening to Murder Unscripted.
My name's Ed. For the past two decades, I've been producing true crime content for some of your favorite networks like Hulu, Oxygen, and of course, Investigation Discovery.
And I'm Melissa, Ed's bestie and walking, talking true crime database.
We've combined my behind-the-scenes insight with Melissa's morbid curiosity to bring you a podcast that immerses you in the true crime genre like never before.
We highlight victims' cases and bring you exclusive insight from the people who lived through them, with a touch of humor to lighten even the darkest stories.
This is Murder Unscripted.
Dun dun dun.
What is up, crime crew? Welcome to Murder Unscripted's holiday special, where we are celebrating giving you 52 straight weeks of content without a single interruption. I'm Ed Hydock, along with the jolliest elf this side of Tinseltown, Melissa Spivey.
Pretty damn jolly.
Lately, you've been. No, I'm proud of you. For, I don't know if it's a holiday spirit or what. What's got you happy?
Oh, it's the new meds, but no, You're fine.
Steady stream of Zola.
Exactly.
Well, in case you couldn't tell, this is a very special day on Murder Unscripted. So not only is it our final episode of 2025, our guest today is going to offer a perspective unlike any you have ever heard anywhere else, and that I can guarantee. And I will mention, why are you laughing?
I'm just laughing. It was a catch in my throat.
There's nothing funny about this. Our guest, he has requested anonymity regarding certain operational details, but he has agreed to speak with us about a case that has remained classified for years. It's a case that nearly derailed Christmas itself. Sergeant Christopher Kringle, he served 300 years in the North Pole Homicide Division before transitioning into his current role, which... we call it gift distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know him by another name. We all do. But before the red suit, before the reindeer, before the cookies, he was a detective. And a damn good one. He'd work cases that will make your blood run cold. And I mean that literally, given the location that we're going to be talking about. So in his career, Sergeant Kringle investigated over 400 homicides across the Arctic territories. He pioneered forensic techniques adapted for extreme cold weather conditions. He built the North Pole's first criminal profiling unit, and he's trained three generations of investigators who continue his work today. But there's one case that he's never spoken about publicly until now. The case file is designated NPD 1224. The victim, one of the most famous reindeer in history. The investigation, a web of jealousy, corruption, and betrayal that reached the highest level of the North Pole operation. So joining us now from a secure location north of the Arctic Circle, please welcome to Murder Unscripted, Sergeant Christopher Kringle.
Ho, ho, ho. Excuse me. Sorry, I was still in holiday mode.
Something about you seems so familiar. I can't put my finger on it, but I feel like we've met before.
I don't know. Did you go to Burning Man this year?
No, I missed. at year zero. I'm sorry. Been crazy.
I do understand. This was a crazy year for me, too.
Can you tell us what was so crazy about it?
Insurance stopped covering my Ozempic, so financially it's just been draining. But I usually go to Cabo for a few days after the holidays. Just don't tell the missus. She thinks I'm visiting a friend. I actually just got back this morning. I wanted to make sure I was home to do this amazing podcast, which airs every Tuesday on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Aren't you starting a Patreon?
We are, and actually it launches in January.
Oh, holy shit. Good luck with that. Don't you have enough going on? You're going to record more episodes?
You know what, Kringle? Melissa and I have performed many miracles to keep this show running, so yes, we are ready to go.
We got this.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, I'm hoping you can kind of jump into the case if you're up for it.
Sure, and I know it's the Christmas season, but please understand there's nothing jolly about what I'm going to discuss today. Time the world knows what really happened to Blitzen.
I've always heard that he was involved in something, but we never knew what it was. I mean, we know he's one of the most famous reindeer in history. And also, before we start, I just have to say, it feels so weird to be calling Santa Claus Sergeant.
Oh, well, the red suit is just my civilian attire. Before I took over, let's call it seasonal logistics. I spent 300 years in the North Pole's Homicide Division.
So you personally investigated Blitzen's death?
I did. I was lead on the case. And I have to tell you, I had 3 centuries of homicide work. This is the one that kept me up at night. It just wasn't about Blitzen. It was about trust. And about betrayal. To be completely honest, it nearly destroyed Christmas as we know it.
The damage that that would cause across the world, if that happened. Well, walk us through that night, Sergeant. So December 22nd, 1712. And I can't even fathom what life was like back then.
Wild year, man. Let me tell you. Well, first off, I should let you know that time works a little differently here on the North Pole. Your listeners should keep that in mind so you don't get any mean comments. And also, when you see pictures of things, sometimes things might be spelled wrong. That's AI for you. So it was 11:52 p.m. I knew the exact time because I was in my office reviewing the naughty and nice algorithms when my pager went off. Yes, we still use pages up here, because cell phone reception is, well, shit, if we're being honest.
I would be lost without my phone.
Definitely.
The call came in from Jingles McFrost, our stable manager. 26 years on the job, never missed a shift. His voice was shaking. He said, "Sir, you need to come out to the stables. It's Blitzen." And I believe his exact words were, "He's hurt real bad."
So what did you find when you got there?
Blitzen was on the ground in his stall. He wasn't breathing. His right antler was removed at the base.
That's awful.
The stall door was open, which was unusual because we kept them latched for the reindeer safety. There was water on the ground. A lot of it. Frozen in some places, still liquid in others. Really messed me up. I had no idea what was going on.
And I assume that the initial assumption was an accident, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Jingles believed. He said, "Must have slipped on the ice, sir. You know how the old-timers get in the winter. But I've been doing this way too long. Something didn't sit right. First, why was there water in just that one stall? The heating system in the stable was fully operational. Second, the angle of the antler fracture. A fall would cause damage. Different trajectory. This was a strike. Deliberate. And whoever did it took this antler as a trophy."
Oh, God, that's awful. So you knew immediately it was homicide.
I suspected so. But up here, we don't jump to conclusions. We follow the evidence. And the evidence was about to lead us somewhere very dark.
Well, I assume this was like any investigation that we would know, where you start with the victim's inner circle and kind of work your way out.
That's exactly right. You really know your stuff. Well, when something like this happens, you start with those closest to the victim. In Blitzen's case, that meant the flight team. Now, let's make one thing clear. These are my reindeer. I've known some of them for centuries. But a good investigator doesn't let personal feelings cloud their judgment.
Well, yeah, I assume it's hard not to be biased when you have, I mean, you've worked with these people for so long, and they're as loyal as they get.
Were there any initial people, or I guess animals, of interest?
Yeah, I guess it would be animals, probably.
Yeah.
Well, initially there was a pole-wide canvas, starting at the stables and extending outward. No one saw or heard anything suspicious, so we went through our database, which, as you can imagine, is quite extensive. We were looking for any similar crimes in the area. Honestly, I thought it was some kind of weird antler fetish, since someone took it. Well, just 4 days after Blitzen was attacked, we learned about an unhoused reindeer who attacked 3 does at a cookie swap using a sharpened antler. Thankfully, no one was harmed too seriously, but the culprit ran off with every single cookie they made. We found him the next morning sipping water from a stream, took him into custody. When we searched him, we found the antler and noticed the serial number was ground off. Bet you didn't know serial numbers on antlers were how we kept track of reindeer up here. But that told me he was hiding something. Well, a tool mark expert examined the antler and found it was actually prosthetic. And it was his own. I had gotten it for him years earlier as a Christmas gift. And he admitted that sometimes he uses it to scare people, including the does.
Easy.
So while we were definitely looking good initially, he wasn't our killer. So next, we ran down this elf who had a history of peeping inside Gumdrop House windows. His name was Jasper Wayne Snowybottom. Sick son of a bitch who spent most of his life on the naughty list. The thought was maybe, well, just a bad dude who set out to do bad things that night. Turns out he was in jail the night Blitzen was murdered, so he was an easy one to rule out.
Oh my god, I did not know that the North Pole had so many creeps.
Seriously?
I don't know if you've watched our episodes, but at the end we always end with, remember, perverts don't wear signs that say they're perverts.
Yeah.
I feel like your town needs, everybody needs a pervert sign.
They don't call it Arctic Chicago for nothing. Well, things really took shape once Donna landed on our radar.
Wait, Donna? Do you mean, like, as in Comet on Cupid on Donna and Blitzen fame? Like that Donna?
The very same. See, what most people don't know is that Donna and Blitzen, they had a history. They were both up for lead position after Rudolph announced his retirement. The competition was, let's say, intense.
Wait, Rudolph retired?
I didn't know that.
Shit, book deals, motivational speaking, merchandise out the wazoo. Let's just say Rudolph is doing very well for himself in the lower latitudes. But his departure left a power vacuum. Blitzen was the front runner. He had seniority, experience, and highest speed ratings. But Donna wanted it. Badly.
Reading all the books, you would never know there was so much bad blood between them. Like, I never got that impression.
So it's like West Side Story of the North Pole.
Seriously. I mean, I'm no criminal psychologist, but it sounds like motive to me.
Yeah.
Oh, classic motive. But we also found something else. Hoof prints. Near Blitzen's stall that night. Donna's prints.
No.
Wow.
So he did it?
That's what someone wanted us to think. But as you know, detectives can't put all their toys in one sleigh. So while we were looking for Donna, my deputy, Snowflake Johnson, good elf, sharp mind, pulled financial records, and that's when Comet's name came up.
So Comet had money troubles. Wow.
Cool. Gambling, ice fishing bets, snowball tournament spreads, penguin racing down in the Southern Division. Comet was in deep. He owed about 50,000 candy canes to some very unpleasant characters from the Yukon Syndicate.
That's wild. But did you just say there's a Yukon Syndicate?
The Arctic isn't all snowflakes and sleigh bells, Melissa. There are elements. Organized elements that operate in the shadows. The Yukon Syndicate runs the underground gambling circuit, smothering gingerbread operations, counterfeit ornament manufacturing, dangerous people with a lot of holiday influence if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
So what, Comet had debts? How does that connect to Blitzen, though?
Blitzen knew. He'd caught Comet making a payment to a syndicate owner 2 weeks before the murder. Blitzen confronted them, said he was going to report it. Said the flight team couldn't have that kind of liability on their hands.
Ooh, I feel like that means Comet had a motive as well.
He did, but Comet had an alibi. He was at the Gamblers Anonymous meeting in Workshop 12 that night. 26 elves vouched for him. But here's the thing. Comet cried when we told him about Blitzen. real tears. Comet can't take that kind of grief.
But if you rolled out all of these, like, amazing suspects, how on earth did the crime get solved? Like, I feel like there's a big piece of the puzzle you're leaving out.
This is the hard part. There was a suspect I haven't told you about yet. Snowy Arius, head elf of quality control. One of our most trusted employees. She had been in the operation for 412 years.
Yeah, but why would an elf have, like, a possible connection to a reindeer murder? I feel like they don't go together.
I mean, they kind of go together.
Quality control has access to every sector of the North Pole complex, including the stables. It was part of the job. Inspect living conditions, food quality, medical supplies. And Snowy had access to Sector 7G via her company keycard.
Oh, no way.
But what caught my attention was something else. 2 days before Blitzen's death, he'd filed an unusual request with my office. The subject line read, discrepancies in toy output recording. He wanted to schedule a private meeting with me.
Wait, toy output? I feel like that's kind of important.
Honestly, it was 4:30 on a Friday, and I was ready to get the hell out of there. I didn't read it till Monday, but when I did, changed everything.
Yeah.
Blitzen was more than just a flyer. He was meticulous. He kept his own records and cross-referenced delivery manifests with production numbers.
Wow.
And he'd noticed something. For the past 3 years, approximately 2% of all toys produced were unaccounted for.
But to be honest, I feel like 2% is not that big of a deal. Like, every company has lost margins.
We produce 7 billion toys annually, Melissa. 2% is 156 million toys. That's not a rounding error. That's an operation.
Wait, back up. So Blitzen discovered an embezzlement scheme.
The largest in North Pole history. And the trail led straight to quality control. See, Snowy's department was responsible for logging defective toys. Items that didn't meet our standards and were scheduled to be recycled. But those defective toys, most of them were perfectly fine. They were being diverted.
To where, though?
On the black market, of course. There's a thriving underground toy trade, believe it or not. Collectors pay premium prices for authentic North Pole merchandise. Snowy and a group of 7 other elves had been running the operation for years. The profits were laundered through a chain of novelty shops in Iceland.
And then Blitzen, what, was about to expose all this?
He compiled a full dossier. Spreadsheets, photographs, intercepted communications. He was supposed to bring it to me on December 23rd, but he never got the chance.
Did you guys think that Snowy killed him to protect the operation?
Well, that's what we had to prove. And the key was the murder weapon. We searched for 3 days. Couldn't find anything consistent with that wound pattern. The antler fractures suggested something heavy, ornate, with an irregular striking surface. Then Deputy Snowflake had a thought. Every year, we give out the Nice List Achievement Award. The trophy shaped like a golden scroll. Heavy, brass, decorative edges. Guess who was responsible for ordering and storing those trophies?
Quality Control Department.
Quality Control indeed.
Wow.
We found the trophy hidden in a snowdrift behind Workshop Number 9. It had been wiped down completely, but our forensic techs found traces of keratin, basically reindeer antler material. It was embedded in the brass filigree of the trophy. And I'll bet you didn't know that antler keratin is unique to each reindeer.
Wait, do they have DNA?
Exactly like DNA. And the keratin was a match to Blitzen. So now we had our murder weapon.
Did they find any fingerprints, like Snowy's?
Gloves. She wore gloves. Gloves I had gotten her for her 13th Christmas. But here's where she made her mistake. Remember those hoof prints? The ones that pointed to Donner?
Yeah, you said earlier someone wanted you to think that Donner did.
Right, like it was a setup.
Yeah.
You see, Snowy had access to our equipment storage, which included training molds of each reindeer's hooves. We used them for fitting flight harnesses. She'd taken Donner's mold and created fake prints, led us astray. What she didn't know was Donner injured his left rear hoof 3 weeks earlier. He'd been favoring it ever since, creating a distinctive asymmetrical print.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
The fake prints at the crime scene showed a perfectly even gait, and that's what tipped us off.
Oh my god, so she set him up.
She tried to. She was clever. She knew the rivalry. She knew we'd be looking at him. But she didn't account for his injury. Criminals rarely do. It's the small details that get them caught.
Wait, back up though. So what about the water on the floor? Like, how did that come into play? Because I feel like you saw that, like, first, as soon as you got on scene. How did that play into the investigation?
Very good memory, Ed. You are sharp. Well, that part was the staging, too. Snowy had melted the snow to create the appearance of a slip-and-fall accident, but she used water from the wrong source. In the workshop, we used purified water with a hint of peppermint and enhanced with glitter. We find that it calms the elves down, especially around the holidays. In the stables, however, we use pole water straight from the faucet. When this water was analyzed, its chemical composition contained trace amounts of peppermint and glitter, proving that it could only have come from the workshop Snowy had access to.
Oh my god, so glitter nailed this murderer.
Wild.
Oh my god, why do I feel like that's going to get me caught, like, if I'm ever involved in a homicide?
Oh yeah, we're a trail of gummy bears falling out of your pocket.
That one, probably.
Yeah.
There's a certain irony to it, isn't there, Melissa?
So what happens now? Do you confront Snowy? I feel like that would be the next logical step.
Yeah.
December 24th, Christmas Eve morning. I bring Snowy into my office. I set the trophy on my desk right between us. And I said nothing for a full minute. And she broke. She started bawling. Said it was never supposed to go this far. The embezzlement started small. A few toys just here and there, just to make ends meet. But then it grew. And when Blitzen discovered it, she panicked.
I feel like she wouldn't have been able to pull this off by herself, though.
Yeah, this is not a one-elf job.
Yeah, especially not her.
Right.
Well, one would think, but we interviewed everyone she worked with, including all of the other elves, and they were all horrified by what they found out. They couldn't believe she had taken things to such a level. And we really had everything we needed to nail Snowy to the wall. She pled guilty to first-degree murder and was sentenced to life without parole in Glacier Penitentiary. Elwopped.
So how on earth do you manage Christmas Eve with everything that happened?
The show must go on, Ed. That's what Blitzen would have wanted. We flew that night with heavy hearts. Dancer took the lead position temporarily. Remaining reindeer wore black ribbons on their harnesses in Blitzen's memory. When we passed over Blitzen's favorite spot, a mountain range in Norway where they used to love catching the Aurora Borealis. We all dipped our heads in salute. Every reindeer, every elf on the sleigh, even Mrs. Claus, who'd come along for the first time in decades.
Wow, that's beautiful.
He was a good reindeer, loyal, principled. He died trying to do the right thing. That's how I choose to remember him.
I have goosebumps.
Well, Sergeant Kringle, before we let you go, I know you just had a really big night and clearly you're ready to relax. I mean, that's clear by your shirt. But is there anything you would like to share with our listeners before you go?
Yeah, any wise words?
Yeah. I feel like if anyone would have wisdom or words to live by, it would be you.
Or Dumbledore.
Or Dumbledore. Yeah, just your experience and just your worldliness. You've seen it all.
Well, just this. The truth matters. Whether you're on the nice list or the naughty list, whether you live at the North Pole or anywhere else in the world, the truth always comes out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually. And Blitzen knew that. He was willing to risk everything to expose wrongdoing. And while his death was a tragedy, his legacy will be one of integrity. We've completely overhauled the quality control system. We've implemented new whistleblower protections, and every year on December 22nd, we observe a moment of silence in his honor. It's important that people know. Crime doesn't just happen in your cities and towns. It happens everywhere, even here. And we handle it the same way you do. With diligence, with evidence, and with justice.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us.
I know
this couldn't have been easy, so we appreciate you taking the time and just hanging out with us.
Well, Melissa, before I go, in my sack, I have a present for you.
That's a f***ing trash bag.
Hey, you know what? Times are tough. What is this? It's a message from Melissa.
Who's it from?
Hello, Melissa, or maybe I should call you by your screen name, True Crime Podcaster for You. What do you mean by True Crime Podcaster for You, Melissa? Chris Hansen here, True Blue Streaming Crime Network, Takedown with Chris Hansen, To Catch a Predator, all the rest. Now I'm going to need you to have a seat right over there behind the microphone, perhaps next to your sidekick, Ed, your partner in crime. I've been going through some transcripts of some of your on-air, online, and real-life activities. I see you like to say things like, perverts don't wear signs that say they're perverts. Well, that's very true. Same goes with predators, which is why we have to go get them and put them on TV. But there is something else you need to know, and that is Ed and I would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy, prosperous New Year.
He's so cute.
Maybe you guys could celebrate with a White Claw, pepperoni pizza like we use in the latest Predator Investigations, my podcast, Predators I've Caught, and have a seat with Chris Hansen. I know you're not going to be in them. If you want to check them out, that'd be cool. In the meantime, I'll check yours out. So stay safe, stay healthy, keep going with Murder Unscripted, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Oh, I love me some Chris Hansen. That, oh, so cute.
He tried to advertise his podcast as much as send you a message. Oh, I cut out another full minute. I'm not paying $103 to advertise your podcast.
I know.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I just delivered 7.8 billion toys and haven't seen my wife in days. And after being in Cabo, I'm excited to be home. She says, I don't care where you get your appetite as long as you come home for dinner.
Safe travel, Sergeant.
Merry Christmas, Murder Unscripted, and stay on the nice list.
Bye. Thank you. Yeah. That was interesting.
I had no idea that he was so handsome. Rugged?
I don't know that I would say rugged. He looks like he's been around the block.
Wow. You shouldn't say that about our guests, but he's seen some shit. That was the stupidest thing we've ever done. Hands down. Wow.
So what do we have on the docket for 2026?
So many cool things. We got a Patreon coming up. We are going to have a merch store at some point. That will not be January 1st. That's a big undertaking. And we need to design some stuff first. We just got a new batch of stickers in, which is good. So we have some cool guests. I can tell you that the first block of our 2026, we're calling it Fresh Starts. We're going to cover exoneration cases. And we have a super cool guest, and I'm not going to reveal his name, but I will tell you that it's the very first case that I had ever covered in my career. And I'm still in touch with the guy, and he's coming on the show.
Because you and I have kind of made our stance on the death penalty kind of well known.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you have to think about with this. Some people don't get exonerated in time.
It's true. Yeah. What if, you know?
Yeah. That's scary.
I think the only other thing is we're going to try to grow as much as we can. Like, we've been so focused on just putting out great content that I think it's time to maybe start some collaborations, put ourselves out there. We need reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the best way to climb is to be highly rated. I think we have a couple of cool ways identified to do that. So big, big things happening.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be 2026. It's going to be good.
It is. We got a great team of people ready to take this into the new year.
Yeah. Well, and I guess we just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening and for caring and for trusting Ed and I to tell these stories every week. This podcast exists because of you guys, the ones listening, and we love that you share our feelings that these lives mattered, these victims mattered, and their names need to be said and deserve to be told with care, of course.
100%. Yeah, and I feel like we do that. Our tone has changed a little bit this year for the better. We've restructured the show a little bit, and I think we're in our groove. So I'm really excited to cover some more stories with this kind of new vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like this, though. This was special.
This wasn't off. If this was your first time listening, we probably should put this at the beginning. If this is your first time listening.
I got $20 right now that this is our highest rated episode.
Well, I want something at the beginning saying this isn't a normal episode.
A clause, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, there's those bad jokes. Well, as we head into 2026 on that note, We hope you remember to be kind to yourself, give yourself grace, and focus on being the best you can be for you, nobody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. Yep. Do you.
Just you. You're the only one who matters.
Yeah. And guys, have a safe New Year's Eve. If you're going out, I know this is going to air a couple days before. If you're going out, mm-hmm. watch your drinks, watch who you're hanging out with, stay with friends, and just be safe. Always be looking over your shoulder because it can be so dangerous. So please, please, please watch yourselves.
And always have a ride.
Yes. Call Uber. It's a couple bucks.
It's way worth it. I guess that's it. So from me and Ed and the rest of our amazing MU crew who work behind the scenes to bring you these wonderful episodes each week, we want to wish all of you a happy new year. And as always, we hope you stay safe. We hope you stay hydrated. And we hope you always remember that perverts don't wear signs that say they're perverts.
And if they need a sign, I know some elves that can make you one. Just saying.
I can make one on my Cricut.
You can do that too.
Bye.